Good to be with you again this morning. If you'd like to get your Bibles out and turn to the 119th Psalm, we're going to be spending our time there here this morning. 119th Psalm. I imagine everyone in this room at some point or another has had a bottle of water. Bottled water has become much more popular nowadays with some. Some don't like it at all, but have you ever stopped to look at that bottle of water? Again, they market these things. They talk about how pure their water is. And you look at the labels on there say that it comes from a pure source or a natural source. Of course, what's funny is so many times you look at that and it says the natural pure source is from Dallas, Texas or something like that. It makes no sense. But anyway, they're trying to find this pure source. That's the way they advertise it. And they talk about how it's been filtered a million different ways and all of this because they want it to be the purest water that you can possibly have. When you think about it, that's exactly what we need to do spiritually. Last Lord's Day, that's exactly what Brother Cliff was talking about before the Lord's Supper. He helped us prepare our minds. And he talked about how purity is something that has been afforded to us through Christ's blood. And how we should be pure in our lives as servants of God. This should be a desire for all of us to be pure. We should strive for that every day. We need to be diligent in our walk towards purity because we want to be that kind of pure person for God in our service. When you look at the Bible, there are many different aspects of purity that the Bible talks about. As you look here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, as Paul is talking to Timothy about elders, he mentions that they need to be pure in their conduct. He says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. In James chapter 1 verse 27, there as he closes out the end of the chapter, he says we need to be pure in our religion as well. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Filtered, if you will, from the world, but being pure and undefiled. We see that we are to be pure in heart and pure in our souls as you look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Again, as Peter is talking to these Christians who have been dispersed and those who are having to go through all these different things, says this is the way you should live your lives as Christians. There in verse 22, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently. How? With a pure heart. That's the way that are to do that. Again, as Brother Cliff mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 5, as Christ is making, the comparison is made there with Christ and the church and the husband and the wife. We need to be pure in our marriage as well. Notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Again, in our marriages, that's the same way that it should be. That comparison is there. But again, purity is stressed so many times there in the Bible. And there's other examples than that, but I just wanted to pull out a few of those. Now let's look over to our text. 119th Psalm. Notice with me in verse 9 beginning what David has to say about purity. He first says, beginning with a question, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. I want to look at this passage this morning, kind of break it down a little bit. Again, he begins talking about this question about how can a young man keep his way pure. And I want to look at these different things there and use these all as answers to how a young man can keep his way pure. Again, as I said, that's the way he starts off this passage, asking that question. Basically, what he's saying there is, can we be pure in the first place? And he quickly answers that with, yes, we can, and this is how you do it. I would say that every generation has said the young people today have to deal with more than what we had to in the past. The temptations are greater. I think that's the same thing today. I thought it was hard when I was a teenager, and I would not even want to go back to school to deal with some of the things that they have to face today. The impurities are abundant, and they're having to fight against these things. Again, we have new advancements that weren't there whenever I was a kid, and many others in here were kids. We have a thing called the internet that wasn't there until we were a little bit older. Anything and everything you want, good, bad, and ugly, is at the click of a button. That's a temptation that our young people are, and all of us are having to face. This explosion of pornography and all the mediums that are available to use it. Again, you can't turn on the TV without seeing something that's trying to sell sex. You can't have your kids walking next to you in the grocery store when you check out because all the magazines have it all over it. It's everywhere. And we're supposed to be pure? It makes you understand why he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? There's no way you could do that, but that's not what he's saying there. But all these things that they have to go against. Again, the ease of access to alcohol and to illegal drugs. When I was in school, I knew of some people that had access to alcohol. I'm not so naive to say that it's not there, but I didn't hear about the illegal drug use. But in teaching, when I was teaching, I heard about it all the time. Half of my students, one or both of their parents, was in prison because of drug use. People had drug houses in their house, and then these kids come to school and we act like you should be just fine. You shouldn't have problems in your life. Because you're at school now. That doesn't negate what they're having to face. All the impurities in their life. But how can a young man keep his way pure? Again, the list goes on and on. Loose attitudes towards immorality. Sure, wear what you want, whatever. Flaunt what you got. All that. That's what they're having to face and fight against every day. And we are as well. But it's going to help us all working together for us to stay pure. Again, like I said, David isn't suggesting that it's impossible for them to do that, to stay pure. But he goes on there, and as he finishes out verse 9, he gives the solution to that. How can a young man keep his way pure? First thing he says is he alludes to obedience. He says there, by keeping it according to your word. So he specifies off the bat, this is the path you need to take if you're going to stay pure. You need to, or develop to be pure. We can look at it both ways. Developing purity and then retaining purity. But he says, you need to follow the path of God's law. That's going to help you. His commandments are going to help you to stay pure. Again, this all goes back to, let's put self aside. Put my wants aside, my desires aside, and let God's word be my guide. It's what's going to lead me in the way that I need to go, so that I can have that end that I want. But notice it doesn't just say there to make your ways pure. It says to keep your ways pure. Again, maintaining that. And I think what that needs is like two words. I think maintaining and control are two things that he's saying there. You need to maintain yourself spiritually and you need to control yourself spiritually. When I think about maintaining and controlling, or self-control, I think about diets. It's hard enough to lose weight. You've got to have a lot of self-control in doing that. Purposing what you're going to eat. Purposing what actions you're going to do and so forth. I'm not so good at it. You can tell. But if I did lose all this weight, how am I going to maintain that weight loss? Well, again, self-control still plays in there. Maintenance, making sure you're doing exactly what you did in order to lose it. That's the same thing we have to do spiritually if we're going to maintain our purity. Again, otherwise, if we don't do that, we're going to return right back to our old selves, whether it be gaining weight again or returning to our old man of sin. Self-control and maintenance is what it's going to take for us to do that. That's what he says, keep your ways pure. Stick with it so you don't turn back to these other things. In verses 10 and 11, he points out, kind of says the same thing he just said, but in a negative way. Notice what he says in verse 10. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Verse 11, that I may not sin against you. Do all these things so that the negative doesn't happen. I want to look at this word wonder here for just a second. Do not let me wander from your commandments. How do you wander from God's commandments? At what point do you start to wander? Again, as I kind of alluded to a while ago, as soon as we start looking away from what God wants, and we turn back to what we want, that's when you start to wander. There have been several times as I have driven. One time I passed somebody without even realizing it. I was asleep. Well, that's another story we'll go for later. But have you ever looked away for just a minute? Maybe you see something on the side while you're driving, and you look back and you're like a couple feet away from where you originally wanted to be. You veered from the path. You wandered from where it was. In just a brief moment, so quick and so easily, you wandered. You went one direction or the other because your eyes didn't stay focused where they needed to be. And that can happen with us so very easily. As soon as we stop looking to Christ, can you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Laying aside the weights, lay aside the sin that ensnares you. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to Him who's done these things, who was willing to go to the cross. Keep your eyes on Him, and you're not going to wander. But again, with all the distractions in this world, it's so easy to look away for just a second. And as soon as we do that, we start to wander. And Satan's going to make sure he's going to get us as far off track as he possibly can. That's the hard thing. Again, it's hard to lose weight. It's hard to stay pure at times. It's hard to maintain that purity. It's real easy to get back into the other sides of all those. Again, as you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, that's exactly why Paul tells Timothy this. He tells him, flee also youthful lust. We talked about that in the high school class the other day. Don't just turn from it. Don't just walk away from it. Flee from it. Get away from it as fast as you can. Flee these youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness. What does it mean to pursue? It means to actively engage in something. Actively strive for something. He says, pursue that. Pursue righteousness. Keep your eyes on Christ, and you'll be able to do this. He also adds to that, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of what? Out of a pure heart. Keep your eyes on these same people. Strive with, pursue these things, because the people that are doing it are the same people that are trying to do what you're trying to do. They're trying to endure with purity. Stick with those people, and they're going to help you get where you want to be. As we look at the next verse, there in verse 12, we see that another aspect of that, if we want to be pure, is that we need to learn. He says there in verse 12, teach me your statutes. David wanted to know about God's Word. He wanted to learn all that he could about God's Word. Did God's Word ever bite David? Sure did. But that didn't mean he didn't want to hear it. Again, when he heard those words, you are the man, he didn't fight those words. He received those words and he did what he should with those words. Again, he was willing to spend the time and the effort to use those words and receive those words in the best way he could. When I think about this idea of learning, again, trying to go back to the children, it amazes me how much time that kids have to spend. They're expected to spend on homework, especially at the high school level, junior high level nowadays too. They're expected to spend 3-4 hours a night learning schoolwork. Now, think about the comparison of the time there, the spread of the time there. They're expected to spend so much time learning worldly principles and things they need to know. But what about spiritual? How much time are they expected? How many hours a day are they expected to study God's Word? You know, this is one of those that hits me right between the eyes. How much time am I spending with my children on their study every day? How many hours are we studying? How many minutes are we studying every day? It's an expected thing. We do it every single day. How many times do we do that? David desired to learn. But do we have that? And I would guess to say that if we look at the time spent, or that our children spend on their Bible study, it will be a direct correlation between the amount of time we spend on our Bible study as well. They don't spend very much. Well, guess what? We didn't spend very much on it either. They spent quite a bit of time. Well, we probably did as well. As parents, as grandparents, aunts, uncles, or whatever, we need to be the guide, the example in learning. But if we don't desire that learn, we don't desire that knowledge, how are our children ever going to do that themselves? We need to be setting a good example. But he didn't just say that we need to learn ourselves. He said we also need to be teaching others as well. As you look at verse 13, he says, "With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth." How can teaching be something to help us be pure? How is teaching going to help us? Because when we've got God's Word in our minds, and we've got God's Word coming out of our mouths, isn't that going to help us be pure? How is any evil going to be in our minds when God's Word's there? How are any evil words going to come out of our mouths when God's Word is busy being coming out of it? That didn't make sense, but you know what I mean. Okay? We're going to have it full of something, either full of the Word or full of the world. And so we need to look and see what we are putting in there. But that's what we need to be doing. David received the Word and he went and he gave it right back out to others. He's trying to help others be pure in the same way. As we look at verse 15, and we'll come back and tie this together in the second half of the lesson. Let's skip to verse 15. We'll get back to 14 later. But he also says that he meditated on the Word. He says in verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways." Meditating on the Word. So many times when we talk about Bible, we think it's so important you need to read your Bible. I probably just said it a while ago. Read your Bible. Is that what's important? You know, reading your Bible through the year, those plans are really good. We should be reading our Bible, but we need to be more focused on studying the Bible. Spending our time in it, trying to figure out what God wants us to do. How can we better ourselves? I can sit there and listen to an entire book of the Bible on my phone in, depending on the book, 30 minutes, hour, whatever. That didn't necessarily help me. I need to get it out and I need to study with it. Meditate on these things. If there's a new math concept that I'm forced to learn, or I just want to learn it if I'm sick that day, but if I'm forced to learn that thing, I'm going to take time to learn that math concept. When I was taking pre-cal and calculus classes, I couldn't just read it and say, "Oh, that's how you do it." I had to stop and I had to take time. I had to focus on it and try to figure out how it worked until I became comfortable with it. It was something I had to meditate on and think about these things. Well, why would we expect God's Word to be any different? We've got to spend time with the Word so that we can learn the Word and become comfortable and proficient in it. There in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul tells Timothy, "Be diligent," or "study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God." If we're going to rightly divide it, if we want to be pure in His Word, we've got to spend some time feasting on it. Okay, a feast isn't a bring your little light snacks and you walk by and grab it. You sit down and you get into it. That's what David did. He meditated on these things because he wanted them. Again, it all goes back to our heart, as we're going to look at here in just a minute. But we can't expect to do all of our meditating in the church building. So many times, everything about church happens in the building, and that's not what is intended at all. This is kind of supposed to be like the icing, but we left the cake out. We need more cake. We need to get the rest of it happening outside of these walls, both together but also individually. Then the last thing that he points out here in verse 16 is that he also remembered the Word. You know, all these things go back to a desire, but he remembered it. In verse 16, he says, "I shall not forget your Word." We need to remember God's Word as well. If you're anything like me, you forget things quite often. I get so busy with other things and so distracted by other things in the world that I just forget. I don't mean to forget things, but it happens a lot. When you look over at Luke chapter 10, we see that there's another lady named Martha who got distracted by all the things going on around her, all the things that she thought she needed to be doing. She didn't remember what was the most important thing there. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 beginning, it says there that now it happened as they went, Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. We get distracted. There's lots of things going on around us every day. Everywhere you turn, there's another opportunity to do something. We live in that society of entertainment. Please me now. Give me something to do. You know, when I was a kid, we used to sit in the car and look out the window. Or we'd get little magnet games or something. But just sitting there was something we did. Nowadays, you've got to have a DVD player, and you've got to have all these handheld devices and everything else to entertain the children. They can't just sit there. They've got to be distracted by something. Here, Martha was distracted about work that needed to be done, but he said, no, there's a greater work. You're distracted by these things. You forgot what was the most important thing. Again, we can easily be distracted by other things and forget that God's Word is the most important thing for us to do. But again, doing is not the only thing that's going to help us be pure. As I've kind of alluded to already, we need to make sure that we have an attitude of purity to follow along with our actions of purity. If you go back to verse 10, we see that a sincere heart is something that is required for us in order to stay pure ourselves. He says in verse 10, with all my heart I have sought you. Now, the last time that I checked, the word all is a very encompassing word. It's a very inclusive word. It means everything about it. And that's what David is saying there. He said, I've sought you. I've sought your word with every ounce of my being. Why? Back to attitude, because I desired it. I wanted it. I wanted to learn it. I wanted to obey it. I wanted to teach it. I wanted your word. And if you've not looked at or read the entire 119th Psalm, that's what the Psalm is about. It's David sitting there saying, I love your word. I want your word. Your word is wonderful. Your word is everything to me. Is that what his word is to us? If it's not, we're going to have a hard time accomplishing this purity ourselves. But again, he gave his all. I've sought you with all of my heart. We do a lot of things today with some of ourselves. We give some of attention to many, many different things. We give some of our attention to our job. And then we do other things to pass the other time. We give some of our attention to our family. We give some attention to the conversations that we're having. We give some attention even when we're driving. But we don't give all of our attention a lot of times to those very things. That's why so many people lose their job. That's why so many people lose their family. That's why people lose their friends. And that's why many lose their lives when they're driving. Because we give some of our attention and not all of it. How can we make that application in our everyday lives and then think that we can give some of our attention to God's Word? Now, we've got to give all of our attention. We've got to have sincere hearts. Give all of our hearts as we seek Him, as David said there in verse 10. But we can never expect to be pure and to get to heaven if that's all we're going to give to God. Giving half of our hearts to Him. In the high school class, we've talked about this very thing, about some of those distractions. All the things that are around them from day to day that I've already mentioned a lot of this morning. Those things that distract us. Those things that make it extremely hard for us to give sincere hearts and all of ourselves in service to God. Like I said, I think the children, the young people, the high schoolers especially, have the hardest time to do that. We need to make sure that we're encouraging them as they go through these things. Again, encouraging one another as well. We all need encouragement, but don't let the young people fall through the cracks. In verse 11, he also says there that we need to have an attitude that values God's Word. He says in verse 11, your Word I have treasured in my heart. I've treasured it. You know, a treasure is something that we don't want to lose. And we can read about some parables there and how people sold everything they have to go buy that pearl, to buy that land. They sell everything they have. They value it. They buy it. They hide it, and they make sure that it is safe, that no one else can take those things from us. It's interesting, this Hebrew word here for treasure is the same word for hoarding. It's a neat little comparison there when you think about that. Your word, I have hoarded in my heart. We know what it means to hoard something. You know, the hoarders, they obtain as much as they can get. They become emotionally attached to it, and they always want more of it. I think I was at Paul's house a few months back, and we were watching the show Hoarders. They also have Hoarders Extreme, which is even worse. But that show, there was this specific one where there was this older couple, and their house was something else, beyond description. And so this team comes in there to clean out the things on there, and they get into their kitchen, and in the kitchen there is this paperwork and other various things that they considered food and whatnot. It's covered in mouse feces and urine and so forth, just stuck together. And so they go to throw it out, and this older couple, they had an emotional breakdown. You cannot throw that away. You can't even read it. You can't. It's garbage. But they had become so emotionally attached to it that they couldn't let it go. Now, we shouldn't be hoarders of things. But if you make that same application towards spiritual things, we should be hoarders of God's Word. Except for the fact that we should be sharing it with others, not just holding it for ourselves. But we desire it as much as we can get of it. We are emotionally attached to it. And we want to keep growing and growing and getting as much as we can. We always want more of it. That's how we should be in this. That's how we should treasure His Word in our hearts, as we're talking about there. But do we do that thing? Is that how emotionally attached we are to God's Word? Do we treasure it as we ought to? And then finally, I want to end by combining these last two points. They're in verse 14 and verse 16. Rejoicing and delighting in God's Word. Again, some of this applies to some of the other things we talked about there. Verse 14, it says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. And verse 16 says, I have delight in your testimonies. When you think about God's Word, when you pick up your Bible, do you say, this is my joy and this is my delight? This is what I want. This is what makes me happy right here. This morning, as we were getting ready to leave, we had that O2 familiar scramble. Maddie, where's your Bible? We can't find it. We had it last week. Where's your Bible at, Maddie? We got to find it real quick. Everybody run through the house and see if you can find the Bible. Was it treated as a joy and a delight? We have many, many Bibles in our house. There's access to one very freely. But the point is that our joy? Is that our delight? That's what we want to pick up in the morning. That's what we want to spend our time doing. Or are we distracted by other things in our lives? Many in the world, and I'm afraid many in the church even, view God's Word as restrictive. I can't do this because the Bible says I can't. God won't let me do this. That's what God's Word means to me, is I can't do things. They don't view it for what it is. That's salvation and hope and protection for us and for all of His people. Again, that's not the way that we see that David viewed God's laws. He rejoiced, he delighted in those. Like I said, go read the 119th Psalm. That'll show you how he felt towards God's Word. He loved it and he desired it. But what about us? Do we view God's Word as restrictive and burdensome? You look about people like Abraham. What, he lived, I think, 175 years old, something like that. We don't see that he became so burdened. He had his problems and things like that. But God's Word wasn't a burden to him. He continued on through that till the end of his life. 175 years, I don't think anybody's living that long today. But do we become so burdened? And that's what it is. It's a restrictive burden on us. It shouldn't be. It should be a joy and a delight for us. That's what should be what we want to do. But we can look at some things in our lives, and it'll tell us how much we rejoice and how much we delight in God's Word. When you hear about a gospel meeting, are you willing to drive to go listen to it? Or do you say, it's not really worth the trip to go? I've heard people say that. It just wasn't worth it. I had other things I needed to do, so I went and did it. Need to, want to, you got to look at those on a case by case. But again, what is our attitude towards that? What about when the sermon's going long? I may finish on time today. Maybe. Okay. What are your thoughts? Do you sit there and go, well, he's long again today? Or do you sit here and go, I wonder what else I can look at and I can glean from this to make myself better? What is your attitude when the sermon goes a little bit long? What about, again, in your personal Bible study? Are you consistent in that? Or do you look at it and go, yeah, the joy and the desire isn't quite there as it ought to be? Because I can look at the frequency that I'm giving right now, and it doesn't reflect a joy and a delight in God's Word. And if we're going to be pure Christians, we don't only need to have the pure actions, we've got to have the pure attitude towards God's Word in our life. That's the lesson. The lesson's yours. Again, we have a duty, we have a responsibility to keep ourselves pure. Again, as Charles pointed out in his Bible class or his invitation on Wednesday night, it's not always going to be hard or not always going to be easy. It will be hard at times, but it is possible to be pure in our lives. Again, but like the bottled water we talked about at the beginning, we need to find a pure source in God's Word. We need to be filtering out all these impurities. We need to have a good attitude as we do all that. I want to close with this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23 says this. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that when we are revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Do you purify yourself every day to try to make sure that you are pure like Christ was? And we look at Paul and how he buffeted his body daily to make sure that he didn't disqualify himself, that he was pure as he ought to be. Do we do that in our lives every day? Can you see some kind of impurity in your life this morning? Whether it be you've never been washed by the blood of Christ, your sins have not been forgiven because you've not been baptized, or maybe you have been baptized, but you went and got back in the mire. You wallowed in the mud a little bit, and you need to be clean again. If we can help you in some way along those lines, if you have any spiritual weakness or that you need encouragement with, we'd be happy to help you with that. But please let us know as you come forward and as we stand and sing.
Just as I am.